Well, our theme for 2023 is life in the Spirit. I talked a little bit about that 2 weeks ago. And this is more than just recognizing the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, although that is a big part of it. I explained then to those of you who are watching online, there is about a 15-minute video from 2 weeks ago where I explained about the theme that would probably be worth your time watching, because we're going to be expounding on that a lot this year. But it's really this idea of how do we live in two realities, in both natural reality and in spiritual reality at the same time. We are, after all, as believers, we are the temple. That's the language that Paul uses. We are the temple. He says it three times, twice corporately and once individually. And so we are at this overlap, this intersection of heaven and earth. And you remember Pastor Dan Ombija and Alan Yoder and others saying that, talking about altars, altars are this place that business is transacted on earth. Heaven's business is transacted on earth through altars, and we are an altar. So our vision at Spring City Fellowship is encounter God's transforming love. And how do we do that? See the images around there? Respond, restore, release, and relate. And it's been 2 years since I've done this, but I wanted to just take some time to reiterate what it is we do here and what we're about. And if somebody walks in the sanctuary there and sees respond, restore, release, relate, they might put together that those are actually parts of our logo. But I was thinking to myself, there's no place in the sanctuary where they can see the whole thing put together and understand how those parts relate to one another. So this just arrived, and it's going to go over the door there, over the back door. But there you see that this is all together in this picture, the respond, the restore, the release, and the relate. It's all put together so you can see this is what we're about here at Spring City Fellowship. We're about responding to the gospel. We're about responding to what Jesus and the Holy Spirit have done and are doing in us. And then the restoration is the river that flows from that. There's life in that river, and we are wanting to be restored, to be cleansed as a result of that. And then you see there's a part of that river that goes out, and it goes towards the city. Actually, the previous logo just had three crosses on a hill, and Carrie looked at it, and she said, that's fine, but it doesn't say Spring City. So we added a spring and a city. See? And now when you add a spring and a city, you have respond, restore, release, relate, because the idea is that as we're being restored, we want to be sending people out, because the need is not here, the need is here. And so we want people to allow God to redirect them toward that need. And then the circle that surrounds the whole thing is relationship. And all of this happens in the context of relationship. So, all right. Yeah, Bob, you can take that. You can roll it up and take that. So that's going to go over the door in the back to describe what we're all about. But over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to go back over these points: respond, restore, release, relate, as a reminder to what we have committed to as a church. But now I also want to take it up a notch, take it to the next level, and say, how do we do that in light of this theme of life in the Spirit? Respond is represented by the crosses on the logo. And it is at the cross where Jesus showed, where God showed his great love for us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then the question for us is, how will you respond to that? What's your response going to be? We respond to God by obedience. and we expect that God helps us when we do. And the resulting recognition is described as an encounter. That's why we say, encounter God's transforming love. Have that moment of recognition where you see that God is actually helping you to see. A divine encounter is when you recognize who Jesus is. Before John 3:16, in John chapter 3, this is part of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus says this, John 3, verses 5 through 8. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So a divine encounter is just that. It's an encounter that takes you beyond your natural existence and makes you spiritually alive. It's hard for us to imagine how this happens. Some people actually have a supernatural encounter with God and yet manage to go back and live their lives the way they always did. How does that happen? You'd think that if you have a supernatural encounter with God, that that encounter will change you. But what happens sometimes is that the mind is changed, but the heart is never changed. So what does it mean to respond? Well, we can say respond means a supernatural encounter, but what if that supernatural encounter isn't doing what it's supposed to do? So I conclude this, and this is the first point in your outline. Respond means change. Simply that. Respond means change. And here's the first fill in the blank. Change is transformation. Change is change. Change is transformation. You want evidence of an encounter? Something changes. The biggest problem with Christianity in our society is that people join a religion, but they fail to be transformed by it. How is it that that happens? Remember Keith Green, singer back in the 70s, into the 80s a little bit? Keith Green used to say that going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. I'm a Christian, I go to church. Great. But that doesn't make you a Christian. Right? Is a person saved by their profession of faith? Just because a person says they're saved, does that mean that they're saved? Or is it the transforming work of the Holy Spirit? Let me answer that for you. Titus 3, verse 5. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Change means change. Something has to change. That's the evidence of an encounter, is the transformation that follows. So respond is more than just saying, I like the idea of being a Christian. It's more than just agreeing with the basic principles of Christianity. It used to be in evangelical churches, if you agree with their statement of faith, if you check off all the doctrines, congratulations, you're in. But where's the change? Where's the transformation? It's more than self-identifying as a Christian. Okay, this is the big thing nowadays. You know, I identify as this or that, you know. Well, there are some people who identify as a child of God. Just because you identify as a child of God doesn't make you a child of God. you have to be changed. You have to be transformed. It's not your Christian t-shirt or your Facebook meme that makes you a Christian. It's all about the change. So here's the next fill in the blank. Your testimony is evidence of that change. Yes. We're sharing testimonies in Sunday school right now. Alan had his turn today. That's part of this whole thing here. I, like most people, assume that when someone tells me that they're a Christian, I usually don't question that. If they're telling me that they're a believer in Jesus Christ, to me, it automatically means that some change has occurred in their life because of that belief that makes them a new person. So as we're sharing testimonies in Sunday school, Alan had his turn today, and we're sharing what that change is. Our testimony is literally this: what difference does Jesus Christ make in your life? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are transformed, then what's the difference? You watched The Chosen. They're on season 3 now, but all the way back in season 1, this quote from Mary Magdalene, it's made it all over the place now. We just love it. She says, "I was one way, and now I'm completely different. And the thing that happened in between is him." That's a testimony. That's what your testimony is. I was one way, and now I'm completely different, and the thing that happened in between was him. Isn't that cool? You don't have to have a testimony like Mary Magdalene to be able to have a testimony. I think most of us can relate to that formula. Anyone whose life is transformed by Christ has a testimony. I used to be angry. I used to be depressed. I used to be proud and arrogant. I used to be religious. I used to be self-righteous. But now I'm different. And the thing that happened in between is him. If you don't remember what you were, turn to the person next to you. Maybe they remember. Ask them, say, "What did I used to be?" They might help you remember. And just because you're changed doesn't mean that you're perfect. Like what Jesus says to Peter, get used to different. I'm not perfect, but I'm different. Get used to different. Doesn't mean that you never slip back into old patterns and habits. What it means is that you don't stay there. Those are the old ways. That's not who I am anymore. But nobody expects you to be able to do this on your own. You know, if you could change yourself, you wouldn't need Jesus, right? If I could do it on my own, I wouldn't need Jesus. I can't do it on my own. Some of us have to learn that lesson before we can change. We have to learn that we can't do it on our own, and then that's when we really commit our lives to Jesus. But here's the third point. The change is supernatural. If you could do it on your own, it wouldn't be supernatural, right? If you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need God. But you can't do it on your own, which is when you realize that you need God. You know, some people treat Christianity as if it was just another self-help trend, right? I'll learn this Christian stuff. I'll do this Christian stuff. I'll act like a Christian. We'll work this out. And it's like, if you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need God. You can't do it on your own. And that's why you do need God. Sometimes churches make it sound as if their process, their program, is spiritual transformation. Just take our class. Just go through our 5 easy steps. Just do this, do that. Those are tools. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting it down. I think programs can work. But the program is a tool. The transformation is Him. The transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit. We love Elijah House here. But Elijah House is a tool that's meant to help guide people. But the transformation is the Holy Spirit. Spiritual transformation is supernatural. You can't do it on your own. God does it in you. Here's the hard part. All you have to do is allow it. Say, that's the hard part? Try it. That's the hard part. Die to self. You have to allow it. Thinking that what you are doing is more important than what God is doing is actually an obstacle to transformation. The harder you try to do it yourself, the harder it is for God to actually do it in you. You realize when you go through this process that even the part that you do, God is helping you to do. That's grace. That's the beautiful part. This is what it means to respond to the Spirit. You recognize that it is the Spirit working in you that is helping you to respond. And through you is changing the world around you. And when you recognize that part, now you're recognizing spiritual reality. It's not just what you can do, but it's what God is doing in you and through you. That's spiritual reality. And now you start to live into that reality, and you are simply cooperating with the Spirit. It's the Spirit that's doing it. It's the Spirit that's doing the transformation. What am I doing? I'm simply cooperating with the Spirit. I'm simply allowing it. Allowing the Spirit to work in me and through me. Now, you know what you're doing? You're walking in spiritual reality. You're connecting heaven and earth. Because if heaven wasn't working in you, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing, because it's Him doing it in you. And where are you doing it? You're doing it right here on earth. See the connection? Isn't that beautiful? So responding, this is part two. Responding simply means listening to and keeping in step with the Spirit. That's it. That's what responding is. So rather than preach through this section of the message, I could list some points here, but I would like to hear from you. Because we've just finished a week of prayer and fasting, and fasting is taking time to tune out some of our physical reality so that we can be more aware of walking in spiritual reality. So I would like to know from you, what has the Spirit been saying over the course of this week? I'm going to come down in front so that you don't have... Last time I had sharing, we had some people that had difficulty making it up the steps, so I'm going to come to you, but I still want you to come up here because I want you to be in view of the camera so that the people online can hear and participate with what we're saying. But I'd like to know from you, what is the greatest insight that you have from our time of corporate prayer and fasting? What's something that you would like to share that the Spirit has been speaking to you? And we're going to hear this, and we're going to hear this together as a congregation. So, who'd like to go first? Come on up, Sonny. ahead.
So, to me, the process of detoxifying spiritual toxic thoughts. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how evil knows it's going to be powerful fasting and prayer. As soon as Daniel fast starting, I decided to 2 meals a day from Monday to today. Because mm-hmm. I need all energy to work. And then a strong spiritual attack began to me. It was very strong spiritual attack. I didn't know what to do. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Next page.
Yeah.
So I can't tell detail. It was very strong attack. So I feel like I'm doing the right thing because the enemy hated it. And I need a prayer. So I share some friends, my Boston, two friends, and that pray for me. I'm also fasting. Mm-hmm. So when a spiritual attack came, of course, my immediate reaction was reaction from my flesh, frustration, and feel like a betrayal, anger. Mm-hmm. But however, because I'm fasting and I need to know what God wants me to do as a Christian, so I look to his direction, seeking for his answer, and then I was able to surrender my mind from flesh to the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why I think I kind of responding to spirit, mm-hmm. because I also doing fasting prayer, reading the Bible, and then surrender my thought to the Holy Spirit. So what I got was Ephesians 4:23. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude. Put on your new nature. Create to be like God.
Amen.
Next page.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have to.
Oh. No, I'm impressed. You have notes.
Yeah. And then Thursday, I started to be very hungry, even lunchtime. I cannot stop thinking about chicken wing and like, oh Lord, but it's my flesh getting weaker, by my spirit more stronger to his presence. Mm-hmm. So, and then I finally able to surrender my toxic thought to the word of God, and I able to accept mm-hmm. the person, and I became humble. Mm-hmm. And I approached the person first, and then I humbled myself, and then the reaction came back in a godly way. So I think mm-hmm. God was with me this week. Mm-hmm. Of course, prayer, fasting is not only your behavior to God, like asking God how you reacting to the presence of God, real application. So my last application is Colossians 5:20-23, but the Holy Spirit produced this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So I'll be done this today, and I praise the Lord.
Amen. Jerry? Tell me, Jerry, what's the Lord been speaking to you?
Yeah, speaking a whole lot. And I have great faith in this church mm-hmm. and all you. I do believe in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And God bless all you.
Thank you, Jerry. We see your heart. Praise the Lord. Debbie?
He was speaking to me. I didn't fast a whole lot, but I did fast a lot more than I normally do. speaking to me, little areas that seem little to change. Things like on YouTube that probably 99% of people wouldn't feel is wrong to watch, you know, but he's just telling me to fine-tune my thoughts and my time mm-hmm. and what he wants me to do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Jeff? Oh, okay. Alan.
Please go. This is one of my things to do, to force myself to do different things. But during my time, I did reading and praying. Some of these thoughts were from before, but I think this helped solidify, helped me develop more what I was thinking about these. So it all ties back to identity, right? Mm-hmm. So, and there's different aspects to your identity, you know, male, female, child of God, but for me, it was specifically about what I did with my identity, right? What role do I play in God's church, you know? Because that is part of your identity, right? Because mm-hmm. you see that in Genesis, people's name changed and their role changed. Mm-hmm. You know, like Abraham became Abraham. He became the father of our faith. Mm-hmm. One aspect, right? So that's what it was dealing with. And it's always been on my mind for a while, you know, but this helped bring it together more clearly. You know, I need to figure out what my role is in God, right? What should I be doing? And as I kept reading, then I got to the story of Joseph, and we all know that, and I see how God moved him to very uncomfortable places, but that was part of his training too, he could be second in command of.
Get the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. He could be second in command of Egypt. And I used to think, I think back to my time when I was younger, I was more open to allow God to put me in very uncomfortable situations. Mm-hmm. And I kind of stopped that. And I think that's part of my, helped me develop my role, is allow God to put me in different difficult situations and just let it go at that.
Amen. So, very good. Bob, you want to jump in ahead of Alan here?
He can go. That's fine. Yeah. If you don't get to me, it's not a credit.
since I'm back there watching the live stream, I figured this is a good spot to stand. The background is really nice. But anyway, I gave up junk foods and the main thing, the main one was I have a tendency when I am just sitting around, and I could get more descriptive, but I don't want to, there's no need to, but when I'm sitting there with nothing to do, I don't have anything in my hands, I make sure what I used to do was I take my iPad with me and I play solitaire. That's one of the other ones that both my wife and I eliminated. And it's surprising what you can do in that time. So what I was doing in that time was catching up, not necessarily our daily bread, but the one that John has here. Ah. And I got so much more out of that time than just playing solitaire. So I think what I've decided to do is when I do my time sitting around, I'm going to continue not doing solitaire, but reading devotionals.
There you go. That sounds like change. Yeah. Going up, Alan, I think it's your turn.
Well, this week, I guess, was a little bit more interesting for me because I was also preparing to give my testimony this morning. Mm-hmm. Which, again, questions, I'm not getting into that now. But so it was something, the spiritual part of what we all knowingly or not knowingly are in hit me more this week than other weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's something, it manifests itself through all kinds of different things, mm-hmm. not only where did that thought come from? Mm-hmm. Or in my work, okay, all of a sudden I get, okay, here's this thing going on. Mm-hmm. Monday morning, crisis is emails. Till Thursday, things were getting worked out. Mm-hmm. But I knew, and I shared it at men's group Monday night, we are in a spiritual fight. It's up to us whether we, as I try to share, do we let God do the fight, or do we step in and try to do it?
Mm-hmm.
No?
Amen. Amen. Linda, making her way up from the sound booth.
Anyway, I'm sitting back there and I'm wondering, what did the Lord tell me? And I sat there one day and I said, Lord, you know, during this fast, what do you want to say about our church? Where's our church going? Where are we? And I sat there and I'm sitting there and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm sitting back there now thinking, he didn't say anything. And then I realized he did, because I saw this church and it was all lit up. Mm-hmm. And sitting back there, he just said, this church is on the right track. Mm-hmm. So God's going to do some great things here. We just have to really hold on, because when God moves, hold on.
You know, that reminds me. So Dave and Vicki aren't here this morning. Did you want to share something first, Carrie?
Well, if you want to share it there,
first. Yeah, right on. So Dave and Vicki aren't here this morning because their son is ministering in Toms River, New Jersey, and they're with him this morning. But just giving Dave a little bit of a hard time about playing hooky from church, I said to him, I said, well, you know, we're going to have sharing time, and I really want to hear, you know, what you have to say. I want to hear what you want to share. And he said, go back to the word, the prophetic word that Brian Levingood gave this church in June 9th, 2019, it's on a bulletin board back in the office. And he said, go back to that word. He said, the Lord reminded me of that word, and that's what I want to say. So just not reading the whole thing, but similar to what Linda said, the word says, my house of worship in Spring City will be established on high for my purposes, will be exalted, and many will flow to it and learn of my ways and will begin to walk in my paths because of your faithfulness to me. Run to me, run to me. Pour out your hearts before me and raise up a shout with a united voice and worship before me. You will tear down strongholds as you worship. Press in and raise your voice to declare victory as I have already won the war. So.
I would agree with both of them. So for me, the fasting, well, not the fasting part, but it kind of all started last Sunday, because last Sunday was just like awesome. I was so, well, I was filled with joy that I haven't had in a long time, like some really deep joy. And once again, excitement for evangelism, where I don't know in my present ministry how I'm able to get out as much to the unreached. But then Monday, that started fasting. We did two different kinds of fasting, which ended yesterday for one and today for another. And I have to say, I loved it. I really loved last week. And I even told him, I said, I would love to do this again, like much more frequently this year. Now, he doesn't quite feel the same.
I told her one night, I said, I am not enjoying this.
And I'm like, I'm loving this. I know restart was sort of a word that I heard, but just again, too, where I think we're going to take off again. Like I'm just really excited to see what the Lord's going to be doing. I do believe he's going to grow us. Not that we need to be a mega church, not at all. But that we're going to grow and be able to have more small groups, more ladies groups, where it's going to be at a time like in the evening, because right now it's just in the morning, for those who go to work could come to, things like that. And just really excited for this year. And yeah.
Amen.
So, yeah. So when can we have a fasting week again? I don't know what I'm looking for, so I don't know.
I'll let you know. Yeah, go ahead. Nope.
During worship and everything, I could see an angel standing up there, and its wings were spread out like this.
Keep the microphone in front of your face.
Well, I can't do that with a wing. It was was from one side of the wall to the other.
Wow.
And he was standing there. And then when we were worshiping, I saw Jesus come in and his train filled the temple.
Praise
and
the Lord.
I felt like we are his train.
Yeah.
So we are part of him and we are his train and we fill the temple.
Amen.
And we are to go out and spread his word.
Amen. Very good. All right, let me see, wake up my computer again here. Otherwise, I don't get my notes. Kara, can I have those, the paper notes there? This is not. Okay. Oh, here it is. Now I'm back. Technology is wonderful when it works. So, thinking about what God has been speaking, then the next question that comes to us is, so how are you going to respond to what you've heard? Because if responding means change, then we don't just hear what the Spirit is saying, but we do something in response to what we've heard. Now, I already heard some of you talking about that. I'm going to change this because of what I've heard. That's the appropriate response. So remember to obey what you hear, and that's how we keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 in the New Living Translation says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Responding to the Spirit is not just hearing the Spirit, but it's applying what you hear. So maybe the Spirit is prompting you to change something. Then remember that the Spirit will also help you to make that change. Sometimes we listen to the Spirit, and then we go and we try to do it on our own. That's what it says in Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish after beginning by the Spirit, now you're trying to finish in the flesh? So we don't just take what the Spirit says and figure, okay, thanks God for speaking to me, now I'm going to try to do this on my own. It's like, okay, thank you Spirit for speaking to me, now help me to do what you've said. Partnering with the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, means continuing to respond to the Spirit. And here's the last part of this message. Our response is measured not by what we have done, but by what we are doing. See the difference in tense there? Why do I say that? Because sometimes it's easy to just check things off and say, yep, done that, done that, done that, done that. Yes, but what are you doing? What about now? In evaluating our own response to the Spirit, we don't just look to the past, but we look to the present to see how we are continuing to hear and follow the Spirit. So your testimony begins with the change that happened when you first received Christ, but your testimony continues right up to the present time. How many of you have a testimony of something God did this week? I've already heard a few of them. How about today? Can we get real present? How far back do you have to go to find a testimony, to find a change that God has made in your life? Respond is the first step in a sequence, but it's also ongoing. So the first three, respond, restore, release, are normally sequential. For example, restore doesn't usually happen until you respond, right? And release normally follows restore, but the relate is not sequential. Relate happens all along the way. But here's the thing, even though they may be sequential, you never stop responding, restoring, releasing, relating. They're continuous. So the four R's were also incorporated into our membership agreement, which we revised 2 years ago. You may remember the last time I shared on these four R's. I showed you a copy of the membership agreement. I do have some copies back on the information station if there are those of you who didn't get it. Anybody who has not received a membership packet that would like to, just contact me afterward. I'd be glad to share a membership packet with you. But you can also, those of you who received a welcome packet when you came in today, you can see these reflected on our welcome packet as well. So the four R's have been incorporated into our membership agreement, and I think it's good for us every once in a while to review this and renew it. And to ask ourselves, am I still doing the things that I signed on to do? So we're going to review these points, and these are not just to check a box, as in I have done that, but how am I doing now? Is this true just on a natural level, or am I living in this spiritual reality? That's taking life in the spirit to a new level. So the first thing that we have people agree to is, number one, I've committed my life to Christ and have received him as Savior and Lord. So that's basic. That basically means I've prayed a prayer of salvation. But life in the Spirit says that a supernatural transformation has also occurred. Is that true? Is Jesus both Savior and Lord? That implies an ongoing relationship. Have you talked with Jesus lately? Is that relationship ongoing? Jesus is Lord is also a statement of unconditional obedience. I can't do that on my own, but the Spirit in me can. You know, I think when we designed this statement, we wanted to capture a life fully surrendered to and committed to Christ. But beyond that fact is the fact that Christ is also fully committed to you. Have you thought about that? He gave his Holy Spirit to live inside you. You can ask anything you want or need, and it's yours for the mission that God gave you to fulfill. That's just it. When we commit our lives to Christ, it's a complete exchange. All of me for all of him. All of me for all of him. That's not just a box that you check. That's a lifetime of growing and living into the commitment that you've already made. Number two, I've sealed my covenant through baptism as a believer and renew it regularly through communion. Okay, so on the surface, what this says is that you're baptized and you take communion. But do you understand the spiritual reality of what these things mean? You know, when you were baptized, you were initiated into a whole new way of being. When you take communion, you are participating in the very life and death of Christ. It's like crossing the Red Sea or eating manna in the wilderness. You don't forget those things. You are changed by them. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 4 in the New Living Translation. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and they walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water, and they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. You see how Paul is describing the natural reality and the spiritual reality as interrelated? So like Israel, this is our promised land. Spiritual reality, heaven on earth. Baptism is how we enter it. We enter into covenant with God. Communion is where we renew it. We renew the covenant each time we remember the body and blood of Christ. Yes, these are symbols, but they're more than just symbolic. They're real. For centuries, Christians have argued over whether or not they should be called symbols or sacraments. But it's not about whether the body and the blood or the bread and the cup actually become the body and the blood of Christ. A sacrament means that a physical thing can become a means of spiritual reality. That there's a real divine impartation in what is otherwise a symbolic act. And I believe that there is, or at least there should be. Number three, I accept the Bible as my authority, and I seek to both hear and obey God's direction for my life. So we're evangelical believers. The Bible is our rule book, right? It's how most of us hear God, and it's how we know that what we've heard is from God. I can't say enough about the importance of reading and studying the Bible. But is that enough? You know, you can't understand the Word of God without the Spirit of God. Or even if you could understand it, you don't have it to do what it takes without the Spirit helping you. Now, I'm a Bible scholar myself. I love to get into the Scripture. I love to mine the rich depth of treasures and revelation that are buried there. But scholars don't transform the world. Disciples do. It's the daily application of the Scriptures that brings life. And for that, we rely on the Spirit. So yes, by all means, do read your Bible. But to obey it, you have to rely on the Spirit. And it's the Spirit and the Word together that help us to live in both realities at the same time. Number four, I participate in worship, not just publicly, but also privately and from my heart. So the most obvious way to show that you're a Christian is to simply come to church, right? And as a pastor, I can't help but use attendance as one of my measurements for spiritual care. I keep track of, and I want to know who's attending church and who isn't, because I'm tasked with caring for the flock, and that's one of the measurements that I use. But, you know, showing up at church is really only a small part of the picture. Do you worship? Do you participate when you're here? Are you connecting with God, or are you just connecting with other people? Does your worship continue when you walk out these doors? I have no way of knowing that. Is your Sunday morning experience part of a larger pattern of cultivating your spiritual life? You know, worship can be a box that we check. I worship this week. Or it can become a lifestyle. I am always worshiping. Worship is like prayer. We do it without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 19 says, "Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ." Oh, and by the way, it also says, "Do not stifle the Holy Spirit." Which verse 19, I think, is parallel with verses 16 to 18. Joy, prayer, thanksgiving are the substance of our worship, and it never stops. Why? Because it's like breathing in spiritual reality. If you're living in both natural reality and in spiritual reality, well, you know, if you stop breathing in natural reality, you're dead. If you stop worshiping in spiritual reality, guess what you are? Spiritually dead. It's both feeding and exercising our spiritual life. It's making any space that we inhabit, just like Joel Hackman said last week, it's making any space that we inhabit sacred space. As we launch into a new year of life in the Spirit, let's begin by responding to the Spirit. So, Pat, if you would come to close us with a song. I'd like you to do this. On your insert, or for those of you online on your electronic bulletin, there's just a little place there where you can test yourself. Check your spiritual pulse. Are you alive spiritually? Is transformation happening in your life and through your life? How far do you have to remember to find a testimony? Are you listening to and keeping in step with the Spirit? And is your life measured by your ongoing growth and commitment, not just checking the boxes for what you've done in the past? Let's worship the Lord together as we close.